Welcome to All Talk No Bock. It's episode 15, which is sort of a round, nice number. It's a divisible by five, so that's cool. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles. And
we don't have Reese
today. Yeah, we have no Reese. We're sad.
Yeah, no Reese because she was too traumatized by the Padres losing. No, that's not why, but it would have been cool to have her on for a nice little hammering. But alas, we don't have her, but she'll be back next week. She's busy. But we do have back our lovely Tori and Andrew. Welcome to you two. And we should have the full crew back next week. So we'll look forward to that as we talk about the pennant round and whomever gets to the World Series. But this week we're talking about the teams that got to the pennant, and specifically the four series that were played this week. Only one went to five games. That was Yankees and Rays yesterday, but there was so much to talk about. So we're just going to give you a brief summary of all of them, and then we're going to dig in. So first off, I'm going to talk a little bit about my Dodgers beating the Padres, because I know all the fans are saying, but Heather, you said that the Padres would smash the Dodgers. Yes, I did say that, and I was wrong, and I recant. And to that, I take full ownership. But I do think the Braves are an issue, but we'll get to that later. But yes, the Dodgers did well against the Padres, I would say. The only glaring weakness is obviously Kenley, but it was a good series all in all, and we'll talk about game two later because that was where all the action was. But generally speaking, the offense is starting to click, and the pitching, especially the starting pitching, was excellent. Quality starts all the way around, and the bullpen minus, you know, our favorite Curacaoan. Ooh, I don't know the adjective for when you're from Curacao, so I apologize to the internet, but our favorite man from Curacao is not doing so hot, but we'll talk about that later. And Tori, you want to give us a little summary of the Yankees and the Rays?
Yes, thanks Heather. I am still recovering from last night's loss to the Rays. I am upset, but it's okay.
I know, I'm sorry.
We'll just go through some of the games. So they started off very strong. Game one, we had Gerrit Cole, Stanton with a 9-3 win. And it was looking great for us Yankees fans. I was ready. I was like, here we go. We're back. We're healthy. It's going to be different. Then we ran into Tyler Glasnow in game two, and we lost 7-5. And then in game three, we went in and lost again to the Rays. So going into game four, we really were had our backs against the wall, I would say. But a lot of people were like, okay, now the Yankees are going to roll over, but they didn't. So that was exciting to see. We saw performances by Jordan Montgomery and Gleyber Torres just coming out swinging, and that was very exciting. And then, of course, in game five last night, we saw a 1-1 tie, Gerrit Cole coming in after starting on only 3 days rest and pitching pretty well, holding them to only one run. And then we saw Chapman coming in early, the decision to bring him in early, which I did not think was a good decision at all, but we'll probably talk about that later. But then we saw Brusso just 10 pitch at bat, hit that home run, and you just saw the Rays going wild in the dugout on the field, and the Yankees, you knew the fate at that moment. So it was definitely a tough game to end on, but
yes, it was.
Yes, if people are wondering, which they're not, but I'll say it anyway, everybody's feeling a little melancholy on this gray morning, at least on my end, because the Lakers lost yesterday, and I firmly believe that they will blow a 3-1 lead and lose in the finals. And Tori's sad because of the Yankees. So three of us are Laker fans, and Tori's a Yankee fan. So we're all sad. But go ahead, Charles. Speaking of sad, the Astros and the A's. Go ahead.
It just seemed all Astros from the beginning, guys. And it was sad to see Carlos Correa do so well. I actually wrote about the series and named him my series MVP. He went 7-14, three dingers, three runs, and a bunch of RBIs. He was in double digits. And it seems that from game one, the Astros, they just wanted it more. And I don't know what happened to that A's bullpen. I mean, twice in four games, the Astros put up double-digit runs, and the A's were going to that bullpen early. They were thinking that was going to be their saving grace. They took out Montas pretty early in game four, and that ended up biting them in the butt. It really hurt them going down the stretch. And honestly, I was surprised that the A's didn't just get swept in that series. They had to bring something out in game three from Ramon Laureano, and he had to bring life to that dugout. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think that Pinder gets that home run in the seventh inning. I think that, you know, they fall flat again. I mean, in every single game except for that game, their offense didn't put up a run after the fifth inning. So that just goes to show the dominance of the Astros bullpen instead of an A's bullpen that really was the best all season. And it was just a shock to me to see them fall apart. And I think really a shock to everyone to see that the Astros bullpen actually did better than the A's. So I don't know what the A's game plan was in that series. Maybe they didn't have one and thought, hey, you know, we took them out in the regular season. This will be, you know, a flashback to what we've done before, and we won't have to worry about it. And clearly that wasn't the case. And the A's go down early and quick. For a lot of people, they had them going deeper. So it's a shame for those Athletic fans. They still can't get over the hump in recent years, and they keep choking in the playoffs when they do make it. So sad to see them to go down, and sad as well for you, Torrey. I'm sorry about Chapman. That seemed to be their go-to in the series. They put him in the eighth as well early on in game two, I believe, to save it or something like that. And it worked that time, but not this time. So it was sad that the Yankees go down, but now Andrew to close it out. What do we got with those Marlins Braves? Marlins finally lost a series in the postseason, huh?
They broke their streak. They're now 7-1 in playoff series in their entire franchise history. So that's news to them. But it was another quick series. The Braves swept them out. All the Marlins offense came in game one at that 9-5 loss. After that, it was shutouts from the Braves altogether. Nothing really happened in game two. It was 2-0. It was a solid game. And the Marlins had their chances in game three, and they also got out of some jams. Sixto Sanchez got out of a bases loaded jam, no outs early in the game. And I thought that would propel the Marlins to at least survive another game, but the Braves quickly added on to their score and just piled on and never looked back. So the Marlins did surprise everybody in getting as far as they did, especially at the beginning of the season when they had like less than, 5% chance to make the playoffs, let alone win a series. So they definitely, I would say it's a success for their standards. They definitely took all the criticism and all the hardship that they fought early in the season with their outbreak of the coronavirus. They persevered and they made it. So they're looking up. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the future.
And how about that Braves pitching staff? They look good.
Oh, yeah.
They
look really good.
Especially since Darvish and Hendricks, they gave up a lot of runs to the Marlins in that wild card round. And now the Marlins couldn't get anything going. So I think we got to talk about them and not, you know, so much about why the Marlins offense didn't do well. How about the Braves pitching staff did well? Let's talk about that. Because
the Braves have been shutting it down all postseason.
Yes.
Didn't Darvish only give up 2 runs to the Marlins?
He might have. But it's still more than, you know, the Marlins really put up that entire series.
Yeah, especially with Darvish being a Cy Young candidate. That was interesting to see. Just they took care of the Cubs.
And he gave up a lot of hits. I think it was like 6 hits or something like that. And the Braves didn't give up like any hits in that series. So it was just awesome to see the Braves do well. I mean, they usually choke with talent, and they're in the NLCS playing the Dodgers.
Yeah, so now they got –
Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, sorry. I was just kind of like going to look ahead to that series, and it's going to be interesting because now the two series we have now are teams that haven't faced each other at all in the regular season. So it's going to be new faces for the season, and it'll be interesting. For most of the series, except for the Dodgers-Padres one, the home run ball was kind of the story. The A's and the Astros had 24 in the weekend. It was evenly split down the middle for both teams. But Globe Life has been holding the ball in the park. So I think it'll be interesting to see the Braves adjust to that. They weren't necessarily home run dependent. the past two series, but I feel like the Dodgers have the edge of the game one just because they've been playing there for a series now, and they played there in the early in the season. So they've had experience with that huge park.
And I will say really quick, I know Heather wants to get into that Dodgers-Padres series, but it's interesting that the Dodgers, most of their runs came off of home runs during the regular season. Now, only two of 26 runs have come off of home runs for them. So they're getting it done with the base knocks, and that's what is really different for them. And that's what could make the difference for their postseason and their maybe World Series run, because they're used to getting it done with big home runs, big hits, and now – they're able to string an inning together where everyone's just hitting and they put up five runs without a home run. And Heather, that game too, that catch and everything, let's talk about that. What do you
– Well, three things. First of all, the Dodgers aren't winning anything. Second of all, we should all, as Dodger fans, get that straight out of our minds, because if we even get a little bit of hope, guess what? No hope. Third of all, I want to say that it wasn't just the base hitting – that was really good in the Dodgers-Padres series, especially in that game three. It was the base running that stood out to me, because they did run the bases really well and they stole bases, which for Dave Roberts is not his normal tactic. They stole bases, that double steal in that, also in that game two, where Mookie was the lead runner and he stole third, and then Corey Seager was the trail runner. That was just as clutch as the Cody hit, which I'll now get into, but I just want to say that there were a couple of little things that the Dodgers did that I enjoyed to see. However, we should all give up hope, because that's how LA goes.
Don't give up hope. But, they've beaten the Braves before. Stop that.
I want you all to quote Heather on this and send it back to her at the end of this month.
Quote me, because the Braves pitching, as we've talked about, put up four of their five games that they've played have been shutouts. Not one run, two run, shutouts. So
yes, but the Braves also ran into tough pitching in the Reds. They had trouble scoring against the Reds, and we've been pitching pretty well. So I think we'll be doing okay.
But even though the Reds' offense was weak and the Marlins' offense was kind of weak, they weren't as weak as the Braves made them look. Also, the Braves are missing Soroka and a couple of other of their pitchers, and they're still getting it done. So that's what's scary.
They haven't faced a team that's put up double digits in the postseason, especially from the NL side. The Dodgers are the only team from the NL side to put up double digits, and I think that's going to make a difference here in this series, because they're finally putting up against an offense who's not only been there more recently than the teams they've played, they have the experience, but now they have the bats. So I think the Dodgers are fine. They've beaten them before, what was it, 2 years ago in 2018 when they made that run to go against the Red Sox? So
the Dodgers have played the Braves before, multiple times before in the postseason, and made it through. The Dodgers are a force to be reckoned with, and they're not going to lay over
for the Cardinals, the I'd be worried. Okay,
but we don't do well against the Cardinals.
Well, there's always a time to lose. Anyway,
what a sad statement.
So,
we don't accept her over here at Dodger Nation. She is on her own.
We don't claim
her. Dodger Nation believes me. Dodger Nation feels my heart ache and heart break just as much.
I didn't say that. I've been through it all, but you got to keep the hope up.
The hope alive, Heather. No. It's going to be a good matchup regardless, though.
It's going to be a great series.
So, no. Definitely, but I will now get into...
Or Rays, excuse me.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten into game two. First of all, I want to say this. My husband caught a baseball that went really far. Because of the structure of the Globe Life Park, it is such that it is a wall in center field, which I think helps, because you can use that trajectory of your jump to then get the ball rather than it going a little farther. But I guess if it touches the wall, it's a home run. So I changed my mind. But the point is, it was a really good, it was Fernando Tatis, would have been a two-run home run to put the Padres up by one off of Brusdar Graterol, who's probably the Dodgers closer moving forward, and we will get into that as well. But yeah, so let's see. Fernando Tatis hits it really well, straight to center field. Cody, run, goes all the way back. He ran 97 feet, I believe, on that play. And then he caught the baseball. And Brusdar, Gratterall, pitching, then throws his glove and tosses his hat, which MLB Network will tell you is egregious. I firmly disagree. I think it was in the heat of the moment. It was the biggest play of the game up until that point. It frankly changed. There were a couple plays, Walker Buehler getting out of the bases loaded jam. There were a couple plays that changed the dynamic of the series, but that was probably the biggest. And if the Dodgers do win the World Series, which they won't, it'll go down as one of the biggest catches in postseason history for his pure athleticism and who he was faced, who Cody had to face, just multiple athletic superstars on that whole thing. All three players involved, Brusdar throwing 100, Fernando Tatis, the star of tomorrow, Cody Bellinger, also the star of today and tomorrow, because they're not too far apart in age. So that was that play. I just quickly want to say, as for Kenley Jansen, who had a 3-run lead with nobody on in the ninth and was facing the bottom of the order, and then allowed, gosh, what was that? 2 runs, and then not loaded the bases, but he did allow 2 runs, and then Joe Kelly loaded the bases and then eked out of that one narrowly with a ground out by Eric Hosmer to end the game. I just want to say that Kenley is not our closer. If he is, y'all are delusional. He cannot close a postseason game. I don't want to see that ever again. I don't think my vital signs returned for maybe a few hours. I was fully incapacitated. It was awful. Every worst nightmare from a Dodger fan almost came true in that very game. And I hate it. Kenley, we love you. We do. We respect you. You're a gamer. You're a grinder. You want the moment. It's respectable. But when you're throwing 88-mile-per-hour cutters as opposed to your normal, what, 93, 94, it ain't going to work, man. It ain't going to work. So anybody have something to say about that?
I don't have something to say about Kenley because I think, you know, I've seen enough games with him pitching in the postseason to know that he doesn't got it there, apparently. That's just where he falls apart. So I don't know why, but it's sad. I am also sad that pitchers don't have as much leeway as a hitter to kind of like have some swag and pimp it up a little bit after they get an out or they do something great like that. Like people, when they hit, hitters, when they hit home runs, they do a cool bat flip. They do all this stuff. They throw things. The dugout gets hyped. They mob them at home plate. Pitchers don't get a lot of love unless they're a closer and they win a game and then everyone kind of comes out and gets them. But if there's a great play for a pitcher, he's just expected to just walk off the field. Like, what about guys like Jared Weaver who get fiery? What about, you know, Gatterall in the postseason right now? It's not something that I think baseball should kind of restrict in a way for these pitchers. I think they should be allowed to have a little bit of swagger to them. And with Gatterall, I think he's the new guy. Like you said, Heather, I like his stuff. I also like Victor Gonzalez. He's a stud. I love what he's doing on the mound. He's kind of a mid-relief guy, but I think the Dodgers have the bullpen to do it, and I think that they should be allowed to celebrate and do some more when they get a cool play like that.
Well, the pronunciation of that name aside, I would agree with you.
He has the tilde over the O. It's Victor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Charles, for putting some English on that. And yes, I do like Victor Gonzalez as well. But let's go to the American League side because we've really exhausted the NL. We have Yankees, Rays. That was crazy. I mean, the Rays are like a fun team. They had like a dance battle after their win yesterday and like nobody knows who they are. So I guess they're fun. And then I just want to say quickly, and we'll get into it more in depth right now, but I just want to say really quickly, if Carlos Correa is hitting literally 500, Babe Ruthian type, the one guy that you don't, no, karma, and this is why I say the Dodgers are going to lose, because karma in sports does not exist. The Dodgers should be champions. They're not. They won't be. The Astros will probably win the World Series again. They'll beat the Rays. and they'll beat whoever plays in the NL side of the World Series, and it'll suck a lot. And I just want to say that the Astros suck, and we don't talk about them as much as we should, but we will next season when there'll be fans in the stands, and there'll be fans in the stands in these next two runs, at least on the Globe Life Park side, maybe not anywhere else, but there will be fans. And I just want to say that it sucks so hard. Everybody talk now.
Okay, I have something to say. Unpopular opinion. You guys are going to come at me. I'm rooting for the Astros. I want to see them win.
Tori.
I'm sorry.
What? I'm Tori.
Wait, before we all attack Tori right now like we all want to, let's let her explain a little bit. Why? Why are you rooting for the Astros?
I wasn't initially. I was kind of indifferent towards all of the rigmarole from the last couple of years, cheating, yada, yada, yada. But they're playing and they're doing well. And Carrera, he's coming up and they're hitting balls. They're hitting bombs, part of the game. Not that it is stealing pitches, and I'm not saying that they should do that or whatever, but just because you know what pitch is coming, you still have to hit it. It's not like they're going up there and swinging. Well, let's not get into that. But just in general, I think that the Astros are... Honestly, I don't know. I might just be bitter because of the Rays beating the Yankees, but I want to
see exactly what it is.
Yeah, I want to see Houston beat the Rays, and also just see. I think the Astros aren't stopping here. We literally saw in this last series against the A's. The A's literally scored first in every single one of the games, and Houston just literally came back. They were unstoppable. They literally just came back, and I don't know if it's just also the other side of me that wants to see. Heather, you're no faith. The Dodgers lose, but I think Dodgers fans would lose their minds if Houston were to.
That's the Giants fan in you coming out, Tori. Yeah,
that's Tori's shoulder.
That spitefulness,
right there.
Yeah,
once her team loses, the claws come out for her, and it's over for everyone else. She wants the most hated team in baseball to
the
win.
The second most hated team. Yeah.
What is that? And the reasoning was just oh, the Yankees lost. No.
Yeah.
That's not a good enough reason. We need to see because they're actually, their manager is, I don't know, doing, charity on off the field or something like that.
That's
they're actually trying to improve themselves. But just to go attack the Dodgers as a Giants fan and show some bias, I'm not about that. I need to see some facts to why the Astros are going to be over and above the Rays, which I don't think that'll happen. I think the buck stops here for them. Just too much pitching. And with the A's, I mean, if you watch that series, they got the first runs, but after that, they thought they had it. That they thought that's all they needed to do. The Rays know they just a great Yankees team, and Astros go down in flames, calling it right.
Yeah. The Astros came in under 500, and now they're going to run into the number one seed in the AL. No, you're about to find out that they're not all that. All the hype is made it up to be.
When you're hot, though. I don't know.
And the Rays are hot right now.
That's my hot take.
The blood is boiling for Heather. She has no words. And there is a lot of heat going on in the kitchen right here. But we're almost out of time for this segment. So we're going to take a little break and go into your take, our take. The fans, you make your decision. Are you an Astros fan now? I don't know. But I'm not. I don't know.
Tori won't be on next week. Sorry.
Tori came out of left field with that one. But let's take a quick break. Bye. Welcome back to All Talk No Bock. It's time for your take, our take. We got a cool topic. We're picking our cardboard cutouts and picking where they would go out in the bleachers and behind home plate, wherever in the ballpark. So we're picking that. We're keeping it PG for the kids, trying to keep it light and kid friendly today. So Andrew, what would be your cardboard cutout that you would put out there? And would you include anything different than what we've seen?
So I think off the top of my head right now, I'm thinking in a world where money is not an issue, I would buy multiple cardboard cutouts and buy a row behind home plate. Inspired by, the name is escaping me, but the Braves mascot, I think his name is Orbit, I'm not completely sure.
Ooh.
or whatever his name is, but he's constantly in the Reds series, he was constantly behind home plate whenever they were pitching, and he was in a different costume every day. He was in a gully suit one day, he was dressed as the Mandalorian the next day, So it's just like a random costume just to throw off the hitter's or the pitcher's concentration. So I think I would buy out a row and just be in a different costume just to, so I could do what I can to distract the pitcher.
So the Braves mascot, I believe, is, I looked it up just now because I had no idea. I think it's Homer the Brave. And there's also another one, and it's very racist, where I think we forget in the shuffle of like Washington and all these other teams like college football that the Braves are another Native American inspired team, and it's gross. Sorry though, that distracts from your, that's a good one, Andrew.
I think I said Orbit, I think that's the Astros mascot. Tori got in my head.
Yeah, Orbit would be the Astros because Orbit has to do with the solar system, and so does the Astro. So, because they're out of this world talented, right, Tori?
Absolutely. I'm basically repping their color right now, too.
No, you're not. They're orange.
It's close.
Okay.
Depending on the little fly or like the little bug that just like gets in your head and is just like annoying people today. I love it. Tori, what's your cardboard cutout?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought, but I would definitely, I would not be repping the Astros. I'm not by any means all of a sudden a Houston like fan or something, but they're just who I'm rooting for. But anyways, my cutout would probably be repping Yankees, probably a classic pinstripe jersey, classic hat, something like that. But also something I've really liked seeing in the stands, I don't know if I've seen it probably during postseason play too, but I know for sure during the season, how they have like those huge like stuffed bears. Like that would be awesome. I don't know if my cardboard cutout would be sitting next to one or if I would just have like a whole row of bears. Like, I don't know. I think they're fun. And it was like funny. I think one of the times somebody hit like a foul ball and it hit a bear. So I'd probably want to be like down the third baseline or something. That way, yeah. I could have some fun that way. Catch a ball as a bear.
The tweets that came after that ball hit one of the bears were great. It was like the bear was like reported with a concussion and is like day to day is quality content.
I agree.
I can't remember who it was, but someone was playing like that one circus game where you're like trying to hit the to knock him down. Someone's out there in outfield every time he catches a ball, he's just trying to knock one down. So I think that's
I think it was AJ Pollock.
I think it was.
It was Justin Turner talking about it on the broadcast saying that, yeah, he like plays – what's it called? Down a clown with a cardboard cutout and just like chucks them at them. So yeah, you got to entertain yourself.
Heather, what would you put out there to help your Dodgers? Or would you go random and go a little bit on the creative side?
Well, thank you, Charles. I was going to say that my cardboard cutout would be a picture that would be me in my Cody Bellinger jersey holding a sign in it that says, Cody, marry me. But because Cody would never see it and he's not gonna marry me anyway. And I have like less than no shot of that happening, even less likely than the Dodgers winning the World Series this year. I'm going to pivot a little bit on mine, and it's going to be a montage type. It's going to be in a world where it could be a little bit bigger than the normal size cutout, but not too much bigger. It will be a montage of all of the times I've taken a selfie of myself crying because the Dodgers have lost in whatever respective round that year, was. And, cause I have those in my phone and my camera roll somewhere in the deep dark annals of that world. So I would just, kind of montage it and put them all over the cardboard cutout so they can see what they do to fans like me when they lose every year in whatever round. In the past, I hope that the fans know in most of the years since they've been winning all these divisions, they've lost in the first round, which I know people maybe forgot about. But so it's a lot of first round exits, some NLCS, and of course the World Series where the Astros totally deserved it and they were so awesome and they're such a great team and I love them all, and the Red Sox too. So that would be mine. Where would I put it? I don't know, maybe like next to, because because there's like in this past round there were family members allowed, but nobody else. But I think more fans are going to be allowed in the next round and the round after that. So, but I would put it next to, let's see, next to Kenley's wife. So I would position just so she can see that. And that's where I would put it. I don't, again, hate Kenley. Wish him the best, but there were some blown in all of those losses. There were plenty of blown saves and heartbreaking stuff. So that would be mine. It would be pretty sad. It would be a bummer, but I also like the teddy bears, but I wouldn't want one because I don't need a teddy bear. What would be yours, Charles?
I'm going to take a little page out of Andrew's playbook. I was going to buy out a row as well and do like a whole section of just the World Series 2002 Angels. Got to give a shout out to the Angels. I'm a huge Angel fan. Don't talk about them enough. And I would have a different rally monkey in each cardboard cutout. So that way they would all have like some rally time. And I would be out in the nosebleeds, like the high stands, just so they would like show my row of guys just all by themselves, just hanging out, just chilling. And I would have a rotation going for day games as well, where I would have like a cigar or something cardboard cut out with just me like shirtless or something, looking to catch like a fly ball or a foul ball out there. And probably still have my rally monkeys going, but I think that would be entertaining to just have like 9 shirtless guys lined up in the nosebleeds out there. I think it'd be hilarious. I think that might distract a pitcher as well too, Andrew. So I'm still helping out the team as well. And yeah, I think it would be awesome to have the nosebleeds out there. I think I get shown a lot and maybe catch a foul ball as well.
Charles, I think it's safe to say Charles won this round.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Gary?
I was just going to say that you could even get creative and like try to create an A out there or something.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Like have it in a row or like going vertically and then like a little row as well. I like that.
That'd be good.
And then I'd like the rally monkeys up.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I love it.
Funny. I think we all got some pretty good cutouts here.
Yeah, so it was a quick your take, our take, but we'll take a break and then we will wrap things up here. That's all for this episode of All Talk No Balk. We want to thank Tori and Andrew for being on and Charles, as always, for being a great co-host. And we'll see Reese next week, as we said at the beginning. And our your take, our take topic for next week is what is our favorite food and what is the best food to eat at the ballpark? Of course, we're itching to be back in the stands next year and chow down on some yummy stuff. And every ballpark also has different foods. So this will be interesting because we've all been to different ballparks. So that's our topic. And just a reminder to follow us on social media. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter mainly, and our Facebook page is coming, and as is our LinkedIn and all those other things. So, but we're mainly on Instagram and Twitter, and read our articles. We've been doing recaps of series and games in the postseason. They've been awesome. And you can, if you missed anything, we will catch you up in those articles. So, and look out for those as we move into the next 2 rounds of the playoffs. And merchandise is up on Redbubble, so check that out too. We will be adding more designs, especially in November, so after the playoffs end. So look out for that. And follow us on YouTube and Spotify. Get our listenership up. Because we love to see that our fandom is expanding. And also call us or leave a voicemail on Anchor. And you can have the opportunity to be on our podcast and debate all these fun topics with us and team up with Tori and say that the Astros are the best team in the playoffs and they're going to win the World Series. And so that's it. Follow us, like us on all social media platforms, and we'll see you next week when we talk about all things food. And we'll review by that point, can we all believe it, the pennant will be done. So the pennant will be done, the championship series will be in the books, and we will be talking about that. So hopefully your team wins. I hope my team wins, but I don't think it will. So everybody have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you back here next week. Goodbye.
See you.